that a little better now. Do want to go to the Lord in prayer tonight. I'm sorry, I'm trying to do the stuff that my wife normally does and therefore behind on that. And I was unable to get it hooked up to the church's Facebook, so you can share it off of that. And if my wife, she'd be watching it, she can share it off of hers, I guess. She knows how to do those things. So anyways, do continue to remember all those on our prayer request list. Lift them up in prayer, remembering one another. Remember Brother Charlie and Sister Donna Faye in your prayers. Sister Jean, continue to lift her up. Continue to remember Sister Reba in your prayers. Skip and Linda. Sister Mary in your prayers this evening. Lifting them up, Brother George Lynn. So remember these. Any others spoken tonight? That. Anybody else? All right. If not, stand with us tonight. I know we all have got lost loved ones and friends and family we're praying for, and need to lift all of them up in prayer as well. Brother Jerry, will you open us tonight in prayer? Amen. You may be seated this evening. what page is that you're on right now? Do I know that one? 309 in your red book. Without him, I could do. Jesus, oh Jesus. 301, is that the one I'm thinking of? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Again.
380.
Hallelujah, by thy glory, revive us again.
591, I would not be denied. And remember on verses 2 and 3 when we sing the chorus, we sing, I will not. So, you know, I would not, I got saved. I would not be denied, I got saved. And now that I'm saved, I will not be denied. And that is the difference. So verse 1, we'll sing it through, of course. I would not. Verses 2 and 3, change the word would to will.
D.
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 Yeah. Since Jesus came.
When pains have deceased on my soul, unto the Lord I cried, till Jesus came and He made me whole, I would not be denied. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and
special this evening, come right ahead.
Thank you.
help us, Barbara? You want to come help us? This is just what Jesus, this is just what heaven means to me.
put the devil on a flea if we just would take and use the word against him. I love the Lord tonight.
Amen. Anybody else?
Good job, nuts.
Before I forget, this next Thursday, if everything goes well, I will be having some minor surgery on my neck. Don't plan on it hindering me from being here Sunday, but should everything goes the way it's supposed to, I'll have a few stitches. So if that's the case, don't pay no attention to me if I'm a little stiff-necked, okay? I've got a spot on the back side of my neck that they're going to have to cut out. And we've been dealing with it for a few years and went a couple of weeks ago to our appointment. They drained it, and it's kind of been sore back there, but it's smaller. And they said if it was small enough, the smaller, that they would take it out on Thursday. So go in Thursday morning at 10 o'clock and I don't like to say too much because I don't want no attention, but on the same hand, pray for me that it does not get so sore that I can't preach Sunday, because I've already missed one week this year and I don't want to miss another, okay? But anyways, if you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, if you were there with us Wednesday night, you'll say, Brother Arnie, you already used this one. I did use this one, but we're going to look at it different tonight, so I want you to go over there with us, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 17 this evening. If you would, stand with us. We're going to read in the Word of God, but we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into the thought the Lord give us tonight. Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, for your love, mercy, and grace. Thank you, dear God, for your blessings. Asking you, Lord, tonight, help us. Lord, to do your will, to praise, worship, and honor, and glorify your name. I ask you tonight, dear God, that you would help us through thy word. Lord, just touch each need according to your plan, your purpose, and your will. And Father, I pray tonight that you would just give us the strength that we need. For we ask you, Father, these things in Christ's name. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. On the way down this morning, it's kind of an interesting thing. We like to listen to preaching a lot of times, and sometimes we'll listen to singing on the way to church. Last Sunday, we'd started the message with Brother Trent, and I hate to say that I did fall asleep. Like I said, I did not feel good. It was up. We watched the service to that point in which we went to sleep. He talked about the four types of love. So just so you know, I was awake for a little bit, and he began to get into those, and he was on number two, I think, fixing to go to number three when we fell asleep. Needless to say, we woke up later about 1 o'clock or so there, and then at 3 o'clock we watched Brother Mike preach. Then at 4 o'clock, we finally, Kayla got it turned in and stuff, and we watched Brother Philip that evening. And then later on that night, we watched Brother Reg Kelly preach. Now, I got four messages Sunday. How many did you get? I was home sick, and I still got four in, or at least three and a half. But anyways, on the way down this morning, Brother Reg was preaching a little bit on what we were preaching Wednesday night, but then he said something that made me think about this text again, and I've actually got two messages going to come out of here, the one we're doing tonight, and then I don't know if we'll do this other one next Sunday morning or when we'll do it, but anyways, tonight the thought is alone but not alone, and I want you to think about that for just a second, alone but not alone. And what Brother Reg said this morning was that David, when he went out to fight Goliath, he started down the hill. Here he was, just a young man. He was all by himself walking down this hill. And as he was going down, probably wondering what everybody on one side thought and wondering what the other side thought. But then when he said that, I thought about this to myself. David was not alone. And you know what? A lot of times we think alone, we're all alone. But really, we're not alone. I want to show you a few men in the Bible tonight who was in situations where they appeared to be all alone, but they were never alone. And so this is David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'll start in verse 34. David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him and slew him." Now look at this. David was sitting there and he's saying these things. And you begin to say, well, David is kind of arrogant. David is talking about how good he is. But look at what he says. He said, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord..." Now here it is, see? You got to read on a little further sometimes, because people oftentimes will see, well, David was claiming all the victory. David was getting all the glory. Why shouldn't I get the pat on the back? Why shouldn't I be this? Why shouldn't I do that? And think about this. Well, David was saying, he done this. Look at him. He's such a good... No, David was saying, here's what I did. But then he added to it, as you read on through there, I done these things, but it was really God who was with me. The Lord delivered. Look at that. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistines." And Saul said unto David, "Go in, the Lord be with thee." I'm going to tell you right now tonight, Saul didn't need to tell David the Lord be with him. The Lord was already with him, because this, we already know that the Lord departed from Saul and went to David, because Saul rejected, the Bible said, the words of the Lord. Now make no mistake when you read that and people say, well, Saul didn't... No, listen to me. God said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. That's what Sam, the prophet, told him. Thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath rejected thee. And so you go on down there. And so Saul said, the Lord be with thee. Now you jump down just a few verses there. And it says in verse 40, "And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling," excuse me, "was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And with the Philistines took, or excuse me, and when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, a ruddy and fair of countenance." Now Goliath is blind, the Bible says, and cannot see afar off. You might say Goliath was farsighted. For all he saw what was near him, his armor, his shield, his sword, all that he was, but he couldn't see really what David was and who David was. And where was David coming from, by the way? He wasn't coming from Saul's tent. He wasn't coming from Jesse's house. He was coming from the cause of God. And David even said to his brothers, "Is there not a cause?" I mean, think about it. There was a reason that he was there. David was coming from God. And so he said, going on, "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staffs? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." He's looking only at David. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not the brightest man in the house tonight. I'm not the smartest, but would it not make sense to you that after days and days of challenging to send a man down here to fight me, I'll just bring them down, send down your mightiest, and let them come down here, and if they beat me, I will serve you, and if we beat him, you have to serve us. Would it not make you think that you're the giant who no man has come against, and all of a sudden here comes a little shepherd boy? I begin to think something's different about this one, is what I would begin to think. I mean, I'm not, like I said, Goliath couldn't see. He was farsighted. Farsighted means you can only see near, I guess. Is that right? And nearsighted means you can't see, you can only see far. I don't know what it is, but let's just say this. He couldn't see far enough to realize David was alone, but not alone. He was never alone. David already said, "The Lord delivered me out of the hand of the paw of the bear and of the lion." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." David was not coming alone. Now, I'm not getting on to Brother Reg Kelly. I know what he's talking about. David set off down there by himself. No other man went with him. He was all by himself as far as men was concerned. There was not a soldier brave enough to go down there. And by the way, I want to say this just starting off. When David came into the camp there, his oldest brother says he knew the naughtiness of his heart was just to come down there and see the battle, to see what was dismayed in the raid there. But isn't it amazing, as David goes down to fight Goliath, his brother still standing on the hill. Come on, folks. You know what I'm talking about. "Oh, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but I'm not going down there." David says, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, including going down there." And when he got there, he went down there. David was alone as far as men was concerned, but David was never alone as far as God was concerned. If you go over to the book of Genesis tonight, there in chapter 39, with you would tonight, chapter 39 of the book of Genesis, we're going to look at Joseph for just a second. Joseph seemed to be all by himself in a mighty way, but again, Joseph was never by himself. His brothers forsook him and sold him into slavery. But when it all came down to it, look at what Joseph said in verse 39, or chapter 39 of the book of Genesis. And verse 1, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph." Hang your hat right there for a second. Everything's happened, and it's not good. Joseph said, "I've got a dream, and here's my dream." And he talked to his families, and they got mad at him. And even Jacob said, "Are Israel's, are we going to bow down to you? Is your mom and dad going to?" I mean, come on, this is ridiculous. But yet we know this, that God gave him that dream and brought him to this point. And in this verse right here, it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." And yet all this time, Joseph is by himself. Or is he? See, that's the whole point tonight, church. A lot of times we look at things and we feel alone, but we're never alone. The Bible said Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He also says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. God is always here, always present, and by the way, always relevant if we will allow him to have his way. And when we stop to think about it tonight, God does not make mistakes. There's no error in this. And it said, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous, a prosperous man. And he was with the house of the master of the Egyptians." In other words, God had brought him from where he was to where he needed to be in order to get him to the next stage of his appointed destiny. We call it destiny in this life, but appointed purpose and plan in God's will. If you jump over to chapter 45 tonight, look at this, starting in verse 9. It says, "And haste ye and go unto my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not." Now think about this. Joseph gave credit to God. Not to Pharaoh, not to the Egyptians, not to his master, not to Potiphar, but he gave credit unto God and said, "Go and tell my father, go tell Jacob, go tell Israel," we'd say now, "go tell him thy son Joseph is alive. God hath made him Lord of all Egypt. Come unto me and tarry not." We know that Joseph told his brethren that what they had meant for evil, God had meant for good. And so we know this tonight in this passage, in this thought, that God was with Joseph. And even though it seemed like he was alone, he was not alone. Let me give you another one tonight in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. Excuse me. Chapter 18, verse 1 Kings. Look at the prophet Elijah. And in verse 17 it says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Now I want you to get something straight. What was Elijah the prophet doing? What was he doing? Just telling them about Jesus. In this aspect, telling them about God, reminding them of the things that needed to be said, telling them about the covenant that they had made with the Father. He was basically preaching unto them repentance and servitude to God. He was just going down there delivering the message of God. And he says, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Now think about this for a second. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me," say Jesus, not me, but Jesus, right? Who was troubling Israel? Was it not God? I mean, when you stop to think about it, what was he troubling them? He was chastising them. He was convicting them. He was prodding them. He was doing everything that he could to restore them unto him and to get them to follow after him instead of following after the prophets of Baal and after Baal. And Ahab is looking, and all he sees is the prophet Elijah. He sees somebody who's just stirring up troubles, kind of like what they looked at Paul whenever Paul was preaching and the disciples there. And they said, "These men do turn the world upside down." All they seen was the disciples there when they really should have seen Jesus. See, they counted them to be alone, but they were never alone. Try to isolate John on the Isle of Patmos when John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." He was not alone. Jesus said, "I'll send you another comforter." What is he saying? "I'll not leave you alone." He said, you'll be here, but the comforter I'll send you so that he will comfort you. And he answered and said, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." Now the first thing I want you to think about right there is the book of Revelations and the Jezebel. Friend, let me tell you, she's in trouble in the end, just as she was in trouble in the Old Testament when she fell out of the window and the dogs ate up her bones and her blood run through the street, just like God said. But look at that very carefully. These are the men who eat at Jezebel's table. Now Elijah showed up by himself. In this aspect, he was one man. And he was going up against the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the grove, 400. So he was set at naught against 850 false prophets. And by the way, one Ahab and one Jezebel and all the others there. But the truth of the matter is this. While they looked at one man, they could not see the God that was with him. So while he was alone, he was not alone. That's the biggest part of it. And you go on and you read through there and the rest of the things there. And we know about this. He halted between two opinions. If God be God, serve him, so forth. And go on down there and you get through there that Joshua or Elijah mocked the prophets as they were going through everything, doing the things that they were doing. And God never did anything for them, or their God never answered anything there. And then we find verse 37. Here's Elijah's prayer. Excuse me. In verse 36, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word." You could say it this way. And I'm not changing the Bible, but just think about it this way. He could say, "God, show them that you're with me. I'm not standing here by myself." Just think, that's what he said. That I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that thou art Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, I've preached many times on this, what a miracle that was. I mean, after all, consume the wood, we would expect that. But how many of us would consider it to consume the stones? How many of us even would think about it consuming the dust? I mean, when it was all done, there was brick laying there somehow, some way. I don't know what kind of ground was left, but it was hard ground. It wasn't dusty ground. And by the way, it was dry ground. God's always standing on dry ground. He's always above the waves. But again, we find that Elijah was alone, but not alone. And then the last one I want to look at tonight, and I could go on through here and do many more, but just some of these that are prime to us and examples tonight in the book of Daniel in the 6th chapter. Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. As Daniel is there in the lion's den, I thought this to be kind of interesting. I won't read the whole chapter to you, but studying through it and reading it there, the word den of lions is found only five times in the whole Bible, and it's found in this one chapter. And what do we know about this chapter? Well, Daniel was not alone, right? I mean, that's the theme we're going at tonight. Alone, but not alone. Daniel goes into his room and he prays as he did aforetime. They caught him praying unto God. The decree was, no man shall ask anything of anybody other than the king, save for the period of time. And when it was all said and done, Daniel knew the decree being signed, went and did as he had done aforetime, which meant that he went and he prayed to God just like he did every other day. This wasn't in your face. This wasn't, look at how big I am and how strong I am and how great I am. This was not about, hey, let me just show you who's boss around here. It was about doing the thing that he'd always done, which was serve God at the time that was time for him to go and pray as he always did. And when he got done there, he was thrown into the den of lions. You can find tonight, and if you want to go through this, again, it's only found 5 times in all the Bible, den of lions, found 5 times, is found in this one chapter, the number 5 being the number of grace, and the only place that grace truly comes from is God, and God is one. Now, maybe you don't like biblical numbers the way I do, but I'm here to tell you tonight, that made the hair on my head stand up. I paid attention to this. While the devil is like a roaring lion, who is the Lion of Judah? Jesus. The devil will dwell in a den, but Jesus will dwell in the hearts of men. There's a difference tonight for us to look at when we start to think about this. Daniel, because of his service to God, was thrown into the den of lions, but because of God's love and God being with him, Daniel found grace in the eyes of the Lord, just like Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when you find it, the Bible says that Daniel said unto the king, in verse 21, which by the way is 3 times 7. Hey, that's a good one, right? Then said Daniel unto king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Now look at that very carefully there, because I want you to understand something. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den all by himself as far as men was concerned. But when he got in there, the Lord sent his angel. While Daniel may have been there for a minute by himself, it did not take long for God to show up. Remember, the Bible says, Daniel said, the Lord has sent his angel. Think about that one for just a second. Look at this very carefully there. I want you to think about this. The Lord has sent his angel. Who's that? That has to be Jesus again, in my opinion. Who was in the fiery furnace with the 3 Hebrew children? Jesus was. The form of the 4th is like the Son of God. When we find that these things show up this way, we know this. We're alone, maybe by ourselves in the physical form of the flesh, but we're never alone in the presence of God. And while we go in the name of the Lord and we do the will of God, when it boils down to the end of all things, friend, while we may be alone, we're never alone. Amen. That's the whole thing tonight. Alone, but not alone. I may be by myself, but I'm not by myself. And for those who are lost, they can't figure that one out. But for those of us who are saved, ought to say, amen, thank you, God. I'm never alone. I'm never alone. And like I said, there's I could go on with more. Noah built an ark all by himself, according to the scriptures. He was 100 years in building the ark. But he was never alone, was he? I mean, you just got to stop and think about these things and go with them for a minute and begin to think about all the scriptures. John the Baptist was a man preaching in the wilderness, and the Bible says that he was a voice of one crying in the wilderness. And yet we know this, he was preaching Jesus, right? But was John ever alone? He was never alone. Never alone. Paul and Silas were thrown into the prison. At the midnight hour, they began to sing and praise God, and the angel and the earth shook, and the doors opened and the chains fell off. Why? Because they were not alone. We just have to stop and think about this, church. We're never alone. And we sing that old song, never alone. Oh, never alone. Why? Because you and I as children of God are not alone. And if we are by ourselves, we better be getting repentance. Get things straightened back up. Because I want to tell you something. God is not on my side. I'm on His side. God didn't have to come down and join me. God came down so I could join Him. There is no substitute going in. It's either God or nobody. You'll either go by yourself or you'll go with God. I'm going to tell you tonight, church, I want to go with the Lord. So would you stand with us this evening and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, tonight again, Lord, we're so grateful, so thankful, Father, for Your blessings. Thankful, Father, for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your truth. Lord, thankful tonight for Your Word. And just ask You, dear God, help us. Help us, dear Lord, to do that which You'd have us to do and be that which You'd have us to be. Father, I pray tonight, Father, that You would just strengthen us. Dear God, as the Apostle Paul said, that we'd be strengthened in the inner man. Lord, I pray tonight that we would just become strong in our faith and trust in Thee. Dear God, I ask You again tonight that You would just touch those that are grieved, sick, and afflicted. Lord, touch their bodies tonight and help them, Lord Jesus, we pray. And we ask You, dear Lord, now, Father, let Thy Word which Thou hast given to us tonight, Father, seek into our hearts and minds, dear God, that we will glorify You. We'll praise You, Father, tonight in the blessed name of Christ Jesus. And amen. Amen. Anything on anybody's heart this evening before we dismiss? All right, if not, remember Wednesday night service. Lord willing, Lynetta will be running the cameras and she'll have everything set up right. And so do remember that as we do that. And if the Lord don't change my mind, I'll just give you a prelude. We're going to study the word disobedient. And we're going to study it in the forms in which it's found in the Bible. And by the way, when you search that up, if you just put in diso, and an asterisk there in your King James Pure Bible search, if you use that, which I do, it'll show up 23 times. 23 is the number of death. By the way, when it's divided out in different numbers. So you'll find it once 6, which is the number of man. Who's disobedient? It ain't God. It's this old boy here. Then you'll find it again 13 times in another form. The number 13 stands for depravity. Who's depraved? It's not God. And then you'll find the next ones there again. And what it boils down to is this. We're the ones who are disobedient. But there's a lot of scriptures there that approve those thoughts. So if you tune in and Lord change our mind, that's what we'll be studying on Wednesday night. And so be much in prayer for that. Also, remember us this week as we'll have our procedure on Thursday, Lord willing, get that all taken care of, be done with that problem from here on out. Brother George is in Covington, so do remember Brother George in your prayers. Didn't get an update on Brother Charlie today. I didn't call. Did anybody hear anything different today? We'll get an update on him today or not. But anyways, do remember that in your prayers as well. All right. Brother Don Real, will you dismiss us tonight in prayer?